Radio. Baptism, powered by SID Media.
Dr. Velumse, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can hear you clearly, very clearly now. Dr. Velumse, we're going to be talking to you about the purpose of the PTAs. And of course, we are abbreviating it. You'll probably help us to understand it. We do understand it as a Parents and Teachers Associations. And so you will perhaps just explain it further to us. But that's how we understand. And of course, shrinking budgets, you know, increasing class sizes, government mandates, the challenges of delivering quality education are daunting. And those are some of the issues that I mentioned that the schools, can be faced with. And thankfully, there is help in the form of the Parents Teachers Association, also known as the PTA, hopefully correct. And we now want to know, what is it all about and how can parents get involved? Bev, firstly, PTA, Parents Teachers Association?
I think, you know, going forward, if we could possibly refer to the term SGB, the School Governing Body.
Okay, all right.
They've changed their name to the School Governing Body. So if anyone wants to do some reading up on that, they'll probably find more helpful information under SGB or school governing.
I see.
School
okay.
governing bodies.
All right.
Introduced in 1996 with a whole lot of laws and regulations and things that might have fallen away sometimes along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But the original purpose of an SGB, if I can read the definition, it is a statutory body of parents, educators, non-teaching staff, and learners, that is only in high school, though not for primary,
mm-hmm.
to promote the well-being and effectiveness of a school community and to address the matters that can affect learning and teaching.
Mm.
So that is the bottom line. It is an elected group. It's supposed to be a fair, free and fair election where everyone can participate.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been so many problems around that in the past and even more so recently.
Okay.
That it almost becomes a little bit of the elite chosen. The elite that gets chosen to okay. run the school.
All right.
That's what it looks like from the outside, and it's always, you know, we're going to speak a lot in this discussion about the quintile one schools, which mm-hmm. would be the poorest schools in the country, and the quintile five schools,
mm-hmm.
where we have the wealthiest of the wealthy that attend those schools.
Mm-hmm.
So the school governing body is functioning very differently in those different schools and the different quintiles. So yeah, that would probably be one of the biggest problems experienced.
Yeah.
Especially in the quintile one schools, where many of the parents are in fact uneducated
mm.
or absent. You know, if you then have a look in the rural areas
mm-hmm.
Where grandmothers are looking after the children,
yeah.
parents are in the cities, in the rural and urban areas,
mm-hmm.
and are not available to be elected.
Yeah.
So those who are the business tycoons of the area and those that have some power in the area would become part of the school SGB and then run the school in quite a draconian way.
Now, what then becomes the fundamental purpose of the SGB?
Their fundamental responsibilities would be, first and foremost, to decide on policy matters.
Okay.
The SGB needs to have the policy of admission.
Right.
Language
mm.
and religion.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this also, we need to also keep in mind that we have private schools and, mm-hmm. and public schools where the admission language policies are also different. Where if you have a private school like a church school, where you have the freedom to teach your religion, and that is part of your admission policy. So the government schools would have different requirements there. Another responsibility for your SGB would be the school organizational matters.
Yeah.
The student matters like discipline, for example, the disciplinary matters, the code of conduct and how the code of conduct needs to be applied.
Mm-hmm.
Staff matters, which would also then be the freedom or their responsibility to employ teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And paid the teachers, because that's the SGB posts are often those that need to be paid for by the school governing body itself, because they don't have enough teachers paid for by the government. And then another one is the building and the facilities and the community involvement of the school.
Mm-hmm.
But first and foremost would be the financial implications of the school.
Okay.
The governing body is responsible for the financial status of the school and can be held accountable
mm-hmm.
for the way money is spent.
Okay. Now, by statutory imperatives, should every school have the SGB?
Ideally, yes. For the governance purposes, for the protection of the staff, for the protection of the principal. For example, where the SGB is not functioning well, it places the principal in the position of taking care of the whole school's financial state, which then means, you know, there's no one to double check what is the money being used for. There's no one to double check.
I see.
When they've made a raise in the school fees, how is that being appropriated?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is the budget being followed? And so basically the SGB holds the school accountable, but is also there to protect the principal so that he doesn't get into these situations where the school runs into financial crisis because the principal isn't a manager. You know, that often happens, is the principal follows the line of promotion. He starts off as the woodwork teacher when he's a youngster out of university,
mm-hmm.
and he's trained to be a skilled artisan and to teach students that. He gets a promotion, he becomes the head of the department, eventually mm-hmm. he becomes the principal. He has no financial background.
So
that is where your SGB would come in for professional advice and help. And making sure that the principal is covered and protected in the way that the school is running.
I see. Now, which takes me... Yes, please go ahead.
No, sorry, I just wanted to mention, you know, when we get to the quintile 5 schools, where
yes.
where every parent in the school is a graduate with a PhD or a master's in this and educate, very educated parents,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And suddenly the SGB is by far more educated than the staff.
Ah, okay.
So what happens now is the SGB is almost a little condescending towards staff or teachers, especially those that are not as qualified as they could be, where they're still just maybe learning the newer teachers. A lot of pressure is put on them because they're not on the right standard. So teachers are often looked down upon by the SGB, depending on the quintile of the school. Your SGB is a really, really, a lot of, what do they call them, the blue beards, you know?
Yes, yes.
That sit around the table and make the decisions. The majority of the teachers are less qualified
mm-hmm.
than what the SGB would be. They would then take into their hands the employment of new teachers. And obviously, you know, they say that the governing body is not allowed to fire a teacher, but it does happen that they make certain teachers or certain students feel very uncomfortable and they leave.
Right.
So it doesn't fit the mission and the vision and the image of the school to have certain things happening.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
people are worked out through the, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah, they're worked out of the system by the SGB because of a favor of in favor of certain teachers, etc.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, in terms of the quintile one, schools where you find that these schools, the parents are not generally wealthy or very educated, etc. And you also find a situation where, an example that you mentioned, perhaps a teacher who came in, taught woodwork, became HOD, etc., and until the principal. That school becomes in a dire situation. How does this SGB then get elected? What are the considerations?
It is one of those situations that are so difficult to remedy, because in that situation, the quintile one schools, the teachers are the ones that then are the most educated in the school. Mm-hmm. The teachers and the principal. Mm-hmm. The teachers are not all qualified. Some of the teachers that are employed have a matric and they're teaching grade 8.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the most qualified teachers in the schools don't even have degrees.
Mm.
And so, for them to even teach the subjects correctly is not happening. So if the school becomes a babysitting facility where children are looked after, and to the best of the ability of the uneducated teachers are given information that is not near to where it should be, on the level that it should be.
Mm.
So how can a staff on that level actually get into the community and motivate the staff, the parents, to become involved? The majority of parents are apathetic.
Mm.
What's in it for me?
True.
Because an SGB position gets no pay whatsoever. There's no remuneration. If there is remuneration, there's corruption.
Mm.
So it's something you volunteer to do. And we all know that people don't volunteer very easily anymore. So I'm not going to get involved. It's too much work. I'm already overstretched. I work two jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have transport to get to the school. So the logistics of being on the SGB, it's just so big that you're not going to get involved. And as long as your child is at school, you're happy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you think to yourself, someone else can do this job. I just do not have the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know, what is expected of me. So even if you wanted to and you feel inferior to what the position demands because you're uneducated,
mm-hmm.
How many of the people just don't have meeting protocol?
True.
The whole understanding of the meeting protocol and seconding and voting in time and the nominations that must be in, it's just so daunting that the actual school itself isn't even employing these rules properly. They mm-hmm. just choose people that are willing. And if you're just willing, that doesn't mean to say you know what you're doing. And the rule says 15% of the parents must, that's a quorum, 15% of all the parents of the school must be present at the meetings and to be elected. And that very seldom happens. You can picture if there's a school that has 1,000 learners, how hard it is to get 100 parents. Well, no, it's 150 parents to be at the meeting.
Mm. Yeah.
There's so many things, and that's why it's not improving the situation, because I personally think that the expectations placed on the SGB by the policy, the education policy, makes it so hard that people just are not doing the job.
Mm.
And therefore, the schools are suffering by that. Instead of making it more doable, more practical, more hands-on, one of the major functions of the SGB is fundraising in the community. And how to raise funds for the facilities of the school. Back in the day when we were at school, you would have a fete and you would sell things because you want to make a soccer field.
Mm.
That's one of the purposes and one of the jobs of the SGB is to raise funds to improve the facilities of the school.
Yes, 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 yes. Man, now, you know, I just need now to check the representation. And I think this is quite a very complex situation, especially with the quintile one schools. Now, I'm going to be looking at, you know, your fairly, you know, affluent schools, as it were, where you find that, you know, the parents are okay, good to go, well-educated. Some are professors, some are PhD holders, etc., masters, and everything is hunky-dory and good and wealthy. What then, you know, becomes a percentage representative? You know, is this a school of 400, you know, children, for instance? How many parents do we need in this SGB?
That is determined by the internal policy of the school. They make a decision on how many people they would need to be able to do the job. You know, there's not necessarily a percentage of a ratio, mm-hmm. a percentage ratio, because what happens, the SGB is essentially a group of people who lead specific departments, mm-hmm. and they can co-opt committees, subcommittees, to work on certain things. So, and then the subcommittees report to the SGB.
Hi, Dr. Velamse, I think we're losing you there. Dr. Velamse?
Sorry?
Yes, okay, I'd lost you there for a second.
Lost? I'm still here.
Yeah, all right, good. Please go ahead.
As long as the important part is that there just has to be the strongest representation must be a body of parents.
Mm-hmm.
There must be a delegation from the staff of the school, the teaching staff. There must be one from the non-teaching staff, which is either the ground staff as well as the financial staff, and the learners. So usually they take two learners from each grade. So two grade eights, two grade nines, two grade tens. So that, you know, the whole, that is all represented.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it doesn't have to be percentage-wise.
I see. Well, lastly, Bev, in terms of, you know, the power that is wielded by the SGB, in terms of driving the school to a particular direction. Of course, I do know that these are, of course, guided by legislation and the policies from the Department of Education. Are SGBs allowed to drive a particular direction that will suit their environment, which may not necessarily be in line with the policy of the department?
They are allowed to.
Okay.
But as long as it doesn't go against the constitution, the country's constitution.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking now. For example, the Seventh Adventist schools that we have,
mm-hmm.
they are not doing. I mean, they can drive their education policies, their mission, their vision according to their religious policies,
mm-hmm.
or their foundational beliefs. But they would not be allowed to, for example, exclude a non-Adventist that wants to come and come into the school.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you want, you're not allowed to exclude people. So you must be upfront with your policy. But if somebody approves of your policy, you can't exclude them because of any reason. It has to be inclusive. We can't be exclusive and say certain people are not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
If you accept our policy of we teach at the school, we teach in English, and we teach according to the Seventh-day Adventist belief, or we teach and we need students to be between the age of 6 and 13. So that's our admission policy.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in that admission policy, I cannot, based on anything, it would be unconstitutional if I do not allow you, if you accept our policy.
I see. Well,
so you can't say you accept our policy, and then once you're in the school, you say, you know, but I'm not English. I need you to teach me in my language, which is Sepedi. I need that. And then you said, but you agree to our policy.
Yeah, the language policy. Mm.
So we will not change that. But I mean, we can't exclude you because you've accepted our policy of English. When you accept that,
mm.
then we allow you in. But you can't make demands to change our policy once you're in.
Right. I get it. Well, Dr. Velamse, I must thank you for your time this afternoon. A beautiful, beautiful conversation. And of course, quite enlightening in as far as how these SGBs work. And of course, a very important point there that PTAs are all also no longer part of legislation, but they are now school governing bodies. Lastly, are these, and we literally in a minute, are these elected annually, or are these elected for as long as the child is in the school?
It's a 3-year election. So when you are elected, it is for a 3-year period. Unless in that 3-year period your child leaves the school,
I see.
Then you would obviously then step down your position at the end of that year when your child finishes, and then you would be replaced through an election process. So every third year they replace the whole committee, the whole governing body, and then in that 3 years they can do elections every year based on who no longer has children. You are not allowed to serve on a governing body if you no longer have a child in the school.
Well, Dr. Velamse, I want to thank you so much for your time. It has been a great pleasure speaking to you. Blessings to you and on the work that you do.
Thank you so much and have a blessed evening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's time for your afternoon praise on Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.